Welcome to the Coach Approach Ministries podcast, where we help people find their way with God by training the best Christian coaches in the world. Our podcast today is sponsored by our Certificate in Christian Leadership Coaching. This is a 9-month ICF-approved coach training program that will prepare you to coach those around you to set goals, take action, and reach new levels of success. We have a cohort forming first of the year. So if you're interested, go to our website at www.coachapproachministries.org/coach now. I'm Brian Miller, Strategic Director for Coach Approach Ministries, CAM for short, and I'm joined here today by Pastor Ken Jones. And I was interested in talking with Ken because we've done some work with the Christian Medical and Dental Association, CMDA, and they recommended that we have a conversation with Ken. And just to set this up, Ken has pastored for the last 49 years, still is on staff at a church and doing some work with a specific service out of that church. And he's written 3 books, working on the 4th. His wife hopes he finishes it very soon. She's tired of him writing the 4th book. And he's a PCC certified coach with the International Coaching Federation. And his specialty is coaching doctors. Welcome to the podcast, Ken.
Thanks, Brian. I've heard you many times, and I always find your podcast great. So it's a privilege, really, to be joining you.
Goodness, I really admire your ability to discern a good podcast when you hear it. So we talked about a topic here today, the ins and outs of coaching physicians. And the first question I asked you as we got to know each other, Ken, is, are you a physician?
No, I'm not a physician. I don't even like to go to the doctor. I spend hours every week coaching doctors.
Gotcha. So where did that start at? How did that come about?
Well, it's been about 16 years ago now. I went to a new doctor for a physical exam. I had a bunch of tests that were done, and my wife wanted me to have this physical finished. And so I went to get the results with this new doctor, and he spent about, he probably spent 10 or 15 minutes with me sitting, talking, saying, "You're in great shape. Don't worry about your health." And as we talked, just sat talking, really, not about my health at all, just kind of visiting. He said, "What do you do on Wednesday afternoons?" And I said, I work, I'm a pastor. And he said, I get off at noon on Wednesdays. Could you come to my house on Wednesday at 1 o'clock? And I said, yeah, I guess so. And he said, "Oh, great." And he took out his prescription pad and he wrote his address, his home address, and his cell phone number down and gave it to me and said, "Oh, okay, I'll see you on Wednesday." So, that evening I went home, and my wife said, "Did you go to the doctor today?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "What did he say?" he said he wants me to come to his house next Wednesday. And she said, "What for?" And I said, "I don't know. He didn't say." And so the following Wednesday at 1 o'clock, I went to his house, and he said, "Yeah, Ken, come on, come on back. Great. Got some lemonade here, and we'll sit around the pool." And we talked for about an hour and 15 minutes or an hour and a half, something like that. And he said, "Well, I got to go get my girls from school. Got to go pick them up. Can you come back next Wednesday?" And I said, "Yeah, I guess so." So I came back the following Wednesday and the following Wednesday and the following Wednesday. And all we did was talk. At least I thought that's what we were doing. It was just a visit. He didn't come to my church. I had no doctors in my church. But he had a 50th birthday party that he sent an invitation for my wife and I to attend. And when we went to his party, he came over. There were about 80 or 90 doctors and spouses there. I mean, it was a huge deal. And he came over as we were sitting at a long table and said to the docs that we were sitting there with, and we were just visiting with them. And he said, "Did you guys meet Ken and Randy, And they all said, "Yeah, we're just sitting here talking." And He said, Ken is my mentor. And then he turned and went to get something to drink. And I leaned over to my wife and I said, I had no idea he thought I was his mentor. And a couple of weeks later, he and I were having coffee together. And I said to him, hey, you know, when you introduced me as your mentor to all those doctors, I mean, I had no idea you thought I was your mentor. And he said, you are a life coach. That's who you are. That's what you do. And it's what you should be doing if you feel God calling you to this. And my wife and I, she's a doc too. But he said, my wife and I are prepared to help support you if you feel like this is what God wants you to do.
well, I didn't even know that's what I was doing.
No, I said to him at that point, what is a life coach? I had never heard the term, Brian. I'd never read a book on it. I knew nothing about life coaching.
What year is this, Ken?
Well, that would have been 15 or 16 years ago. So whatever.
Yeah. That's about the beginning of coaching. It's really late 90s, early 2000s. What you're saying is interesting, that the most successful coaches I've talked to, and I've talked to several at this point, they just tell stories like this where people want to be around them. Whether it's in business or in this case, medical field, there's just something about them that is helpful just to be around. They aren't doing coaching. They are being a coach, or they're being a wonderful human being. And so there's just a lot to be said about coaching is just to show up well, to be the kind of person that people want to be around.
Yeah. I think, obviously, in the area of Christian coaching, the two great assets that are indispensable, love God and love people.
Yeah.
If you love God and you love people, those are two incredibly important things that you have to possess if you're going to be effective as a Christian coach. And I believe, you know, in terms of the niche idea, Brian, God has given me an extraordinary love for doctors. I love doctors. And I tell doctors, whether I'm teaching them coaching or I'm coaching them personally, I love doctors. The Lord has just given me a heart for doctors. And doctors don't have a lot of people that love them, quite honestly.
They definitely have to set up, they have to set up boundaries. Because I know there was a physician I had invited to our church, and I think he really wanted to come, but his nurse even told me he doctors everybody at your church, and there's no way he'll be able to just worship because everybody'll want a piece of him, and it won't be possible. That's for sure.
I hear that a lot.
Oh my goodness, they need somebody to talk to, and you are set aside, I guess, for them to talk to. Let me ask you, and I don't know if you know the answer to this question. It's just made me curious. When you were just having conversations by the pool, before you knew you were his mentor or his life coach, what was the percentage of conversation? What was the percentage where you talked, the percentage of where he talked? Were you pouring into his life as a mentor might? Was he asking you questions, or were you asking questions? And that's not a trick question. As a coach, we ask more questions, but that first, that first initial time together that kind of showed him you're a life coach, what did those conversations look like?
You know, I probably would differentiate in terms of what I think is the crux of your question. When I was in his office in that first encounter, I think I did most of the talking. And then he said, could you come to my house? Mm-hmm. When we sat around the pool, as I reflect back, I think he did most of the talking and I was asking questions, but I didn't really realize what I was doing. It just seemed natural to me.
Yeah. So you were even saying, before we started recording, that physicians, you're not a physician. You don't even like going to the doctor. You certainly are not I mean, you're not any more familiar with doctors, and except that you've coached a lot of them at this point. And you even mentioned in a niche, and I want to point that out, it's almost better if you don't have much expertise.
Well, I think it sure helps in terms of staying in a coaching mode. One of the early in the early days of my coaching, the doc that really helped me get going, told me that he had a patient that he thought really could benefit from coaching. Would I be willing to talk to her? And I said, sure. And he said, well, she raises Arabian horses for a living. That's what she does. And I met with her, and we coached probably for 6 or 9 months. And she had this Arabian horse business. And I know nothing about horses. So I think that that reality that you don't, it is better. I think it's better, really, if you don't have a clue about the business that they're in. And it keeps you in that mode of, being dumb as a rock when it comes to their what they're all about in terms of their business. But you can be an effective coach just the same.
Well, I wasn't gonna say dumb as a rock. I was gonna finish that sentence with a curious listener. It makes me be an effective listener because I don't know anything. I can't speak from my own knowledge. So I've really got to be listening carefully to what they're saying. And people say a lot that they don't know that they're saying, and be able to reflect that back and can at times just be tremendously powerful.
Along that line, Brian, it's in Christian coaching in particular, when people find out that I have a pastor's background, they want to move into sometimes pastoral counseling and will ask questions of me and what do I think. And I do my very best to, when I'm wearing my coach hat, I keep in that coaching mode as much as I possibly can. And one of the illustrations that I use is that when people feel spiritually lost, like they have this question they can't answer, which direction should they go? That I often say, it seems incongruous to me that God would go to the extraordinary measure of sending his son Jesus to die on the cross in order that we might be in relationship with him, and then make following that plan that he has so difficult that we can't figure it out. Mm. You can trust God's leading and direction, and when he wants to be heard, he will be heard. And so that's very helpful. I don't have to tell people what the direction of God in their lives is, because I don't know what the direction is. And to stay in that mode of discovery and listening critically, as earnestly as I can, to not only what's being said, but what isn't being said.
Yeah, what you just did, what I heard you just do is a concise message, which was true. And so I tell people all the time in training that you can use direct messages, concise messages all day as long as it's true. But as soon as you start setting direction, or solutions, then you are failing. And so you're saying there are some things you can speak into their life that are pithy, basic truths, and then let them, and that's been effective for you.
I hope so.
I'm sure it has.
Coaching doctors, they haven't, bailed on me. So yeah,
I'm sure it has. And so maintaining confidentiality, that's just gotta be a given, in all coaching relationships, but you've coached enough docs at this point that I would think you might be able to tell us what are 3, 4, 5 topics that come up a lot with docs?
Burnout right now is huge with mm-hmm. doctors, and trying to coach through what we would call life balance issues. some docs really want to work on the spiritual side of their lives, and they're not necessarily close to their, they're not close to their pastors, most of them, for the exact reasons that you've already outlined. And so I think the healthcare system and what it's like is pretty chaotic. But it's all over the page, Brian. It literally is all over the page. I have one doc. I have permission to share the story. His practice was in Joplin, Missouri. He and his wife are both physicians. They've written about this experience and shared it, and I've used it in teaching. Several years ago, when that tornado came through Joplin.
Oh yeah, I remember.
We were supposed to have a coaching call that evening, and I had heard that this tornado went through Joplin, and he didn't call at his appointed time, and I was very nervous, and I kept telling my wife, "I hope he's all right," you know. And finally, 45 minutes late, he called, and I could hear the chaos in the background. And he said, "We just got the last patients out of the hospital, and the hospital is not usable. It's gone. A total loss. And my practice is gone. The building where my practice was is gone. And my wife and I own a separate building that is a medical building. It's a concrete pad. There's nothing there." And I was just overwhelmed with the responsibility and saying, "What will you do?" And he said, "I don't have any idea." That there are so many times when the docs that I'm trying to coach, not quite that dramatic, but many times they've had horrendous transitions, other things. So they're great. There are great needs within the medical community. And institutions like Harvard Medical School are sponsoring now huge conference every year in the fall with McLean Hospital. I was there last year. There were 12, I think they had 1,200 people there, coaches and clinicians who were learning about coaching, cutting edge programs that have been set up that are teaching coaching to doctors. Because coaching now as a skill is producing huge dividends for doctors as they work with their patients.
So the doctors are learning coaching?
Correct. Yeah. In fact, at the Christian Medical and Dental Association, where I serve as the director of coach training, we have with our engagement with CAM, it's been a wonderful thing to have the long-term relationship with Coach Approach Ministries that we have to develop programs that are doctor-specific for coaching and teaching basic coaching skills to physicians who will then take it back into their practice and work with patients in coaching patients on life change issues. And it's been very, very effective.
And I've experienced this enough to know that docs are not trained to be coaches. They're trained to be tellers, diagnostic, and then here's the prescription. Those are their two major tools. What have you seen also to be some of the obstacles for doctors becoming coaches?
Well, I think that is the huge one, because as you know, if you're coaching someone, you're not the expert in the room. The person you're coaching is the expert, and every doctor in the country is the expert on every appointment. And so they're used to being the expert, and that's an interesting dynamic, Brian. Because as clients, doctors are perfect. They are perfect clients when it comes to coaching. because they get to be the expert. I don't know anything about medicine, and I let them be the expert on their life.
Yeah.
Since they're used to being the expert, it works well. Now, the other side of that teeter-totter is whenever they come into a coach training program, it's hysterical sometimes.
Yeah.
They hear two doctors, one that's going to be coached, and they're doing a practice in front of their colleagues. And one is trying to coach, and one is being coached. And the juxtaposition there of what's happening, it's really wonderful. I mean, I love teaching doctors coaching.
I remember listening to a doctor doing a practice, and every question she asked was, "Have you ever thought about trying?"
Correct.
Like, well, all kinds of problems with those questions. They're not coaching questions. They're doctor questions. You're just trying to encapsulate in a question me telling you what I think you ought to do.
Well, the outcome, you know, for a doc, the outcome is to diagnose what the problem is and make a diagnosis that will then produce some sort of treatment. And so the goal in coaching is not to make a diagnosis on the part of the coach.
I would think one of the problems they would have would be they don't, that because of the healthcare system in its current state, they have even less time with the patient.
That time constraints are huge. And my heart just goes out to them. They're wonderful people. I love working with doctors. And having a place where a doc can be assured of confidentiality. And the docs that I coach, no one knows I'm coaching with them, as you might guess, Brian, unless they decide that they want to disclose that. So they feel, I think they feel safe, and they can be somewhat vulnerable because, you know, in the medical field, it is not fashionable to say, I don't know. They're supposed to know because there's so many things they need to know. And so when they come face to face with, whether it's working with, trying to help move a practice, one of the docs that I'm working with right now is leaving private practice and going into a large medical system. And what, you know, what's the difference between those two is huge. So there's a lot out there.
How did you get involved with CMDA and maybe even tell us, some of the good things they're doing?
The doc that told me that I was a life coach was a CMDA member. And he met with a group of physicians every month for prayer and just encouragement one time a month. And he asked me if I would come to their morning meeting. And so I did that for 3 or 4 months. And they finally came to me one morning and sat me down and said, "We think you would be a really good Bay Area director for CMDA." And I didn't know what CMDA was. I'd never even heard of it.
Yeah, I don't think most people have ever heard of that. Christian Medical and Dental Association.
That's correct. And they have a presence pretty much on every medical school campus in the country. It's targeted for Christian medical students and doctors. They are extremely busy and effective in bioethics and dealing with, they have a full-time guy in Washington, D.C. who is an effective lobbyist and listens carefully to what's happening on the Hill in terms of laws that are impacting especially the bioethics and the ethics of medicine from a Christian perspective. They're very active in medical missions around the world, and Global Health Outreach does some incredible stuff with medical missions around the world. So, and many other parts to ministry, but those are the big pieces.
Ken, if anybody wants to get a hold of you, what would be the best way for them to do that?
Really, the best way to get a hold of me is with my personal email, And I give it out without any problem. My email is KJ's Pens. That's KJS as in Sally, Pens, like you write with, at gmail.com.
Gotcha. Hey, Ken, I appreciate you joining me today.
Pleasure has been mine, Brian. I love Cam and all you guys that work there. Bill Copper has been a dear friend for a long time, and this is my first chance to really get better acquainted with you, but you guys are doing a great job.
Oh, we appreciate it. Thanks. And thanks for all those of you listening today. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. If you don't want to miss any of our podcasts, I invite you to subscribe to our podcast at iTunes or at Google Play. Next week, speaking of Bill Copper, I will be talking to Bill Copper about discussing about improving client accountability. This podcast was sponsored by our certificate in Christian Leadership Coaching. This is a 9-month ICF-approved coach training program that will prepare you to coach those around you to set goals, take action, and reach new levels of success. We have a cohort forming the first of the year. So if you're interested, go to our website at www.coachapproachministries.org/coach now. We'll see you next week.